You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Dave here with Casey, and we are the football dudes. Are you ready, brother?
You got that right, my friend.
Right, you just crossed over into The Trend Zone. And in today's episode, Casey, we'll be talking about some rookie quarterbacks getting some action. We will be talking about a couple of player acquisitions as we head towards the trade deadline. And we will, of course, talk a little Survivor, our fantasy go-backs. And, of course, preview some of the awesome games coming up this week in the NFL. But before all of that good stuff, Casey, hit the people with the tasty nug.
Oh, yeah, brother. And 2020 NFL teams this season have combined for, 5,320. 29 points, and if you're counting, that's 613 touchdowns, 588, which are offensive, passing or rushing. That's the most ever through 7 weeks in NFL history, Dave. That puts them on pace for about 13,000 points, wow, about 1,500 touchdowns, and about 1,400 combined offensive touchdowns. Man, dude, no offseason. These offenses are just destroying the defenses out there. Wow.
It is absolutely amazing how this has turned into fantasy football for real, dude. It's just lightning, it's fireworks, it's the whole show, man. It's
big
fun.
Time.
All right, Casey, let's get it going with the top trending stories heading into this week. First of all, hey, it's pretty exciting seeing some of these rookies get going. And now, obviously, Burrow and Herbert have been in the action for quite a while now. And now there's going to be two a time, Casey. This is pretty exciting, man.
Oh, yeah. You know, the weirdness of it is he's obviously replacing Fitzmagic, who had been Magic so far this year, who is an exciting player in his own. But I think the Dolphin fan is just chomping at the bit to see Tua get out there. He was one of the most dynamic playmakers when he was in college, coming back from that severe injury. Got a little taste of him a couple weeks. And it's a head scratcher because the Dolphins were in it, but this was a big 2 week window for him to get prepared to be the starter with the bye week. They said they've loved what they've seen in practice. And I know that fan base is getting all frothed with their number one jerseys out there. So it's going to be pretty exciting, but, it's the Rams coming to town there and Mr. Aaron Donald. So, it's not going to be an easy first week, but I know we will be glued to the television, bro.
No doubt, as awesome as Fitzmagic was doing, and I'm kind of bummed for him. He was bummed, you know. Yeah. He really felt like this was his team, and they're right in the mix, like you said. But I mean, just as a football fan, man, I can't wait to see Tua. It's going to be exciting. And what we've seen out of Burrow and Herbert so far, Casey, has been nothing but spectacular. I mean, both teams really struggling on the offensive line. Both quarterbacks, though, showing that they are ready to take over. And they're playing some really exciting football, too. So can't wait to see Tua.
Yeah, dude, sitting on the bench for a few years now is not what's happening anymore. These guys are going right in, and, you know, they're producing. So
yeah, you tweak the offense to accentuate what these guys do. And rather than try and, you know, fit a square peg into a round hole or whatever you want to say, just let these guys rip, you know, let them do what they're comfortable with. Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, Casey, the presumptive number one pick, Trevor Lawrence, maybe reconsidering? What?
Yeah, dude, being the BMOC is a pretty good gig when you can get it there in Clemson and you're dominating everybody week to week. I think they actually start the games 17-0 because these scores that they're putting up are absolutely ridiculous. Right. And on the other side of that, when you see what the Jets are doing, it's like, maybe I'll stay one more year. You know, I kind of like it here. So we'll see once it gets closer to the end. But, you know, he'd said he was leaning towards going pro, but not necessarily. So it'll be interesting to see what shakes up. If he wins another title, I'm assuming he's gone, but who knows?
Yeah, it will be obviously a big decision. The money is so, so good, though. I can't imagine him not just taking on that new challenge. But, yeah, the Jets are so, so bad. So maybe that's got him reconsidering. I don't know, man. All right, Casey, moving along. Little trade action getting going here as we approach the trade deadline. Your Dallas Cowboys are involved. What's up, dude?
You mean the Jets South, the Dallas Cowboys, the Jets South, 7-13 in their last 20, just like the Jets.
Oh, man.
They've officially put up the white flag there. The Cowboys are trading defensive end Everson Griffin. He's going to the Lions. It's a conditional sixth round pick with some play time. It can move up to a fifth round pick. This pass rush was supposed to be a strong point for the Cowboys going into this season, and it's been anything but. That defense has been terrible. They're still going to have to eat half of that $6 million, but get it off the books, dude, and anybody else that you can ship out and get some draft picks, I say do it, man. Everybody's, they're still in contention. This team is not in contention, bro. I know they're getting a few healthy bodies back, but if you can ditch some of these contracts and stockpile some picks, let's do it.
Yeah, Lions, though, they don't seem to be, I mean, they're in a pretty tough division there, but I guess the price is right there when you're talking about a sixth rounder that could be a fifth rounder, right? I mean, that's not too
bad. Yeah, and they're, you know, they're 3-3. They're right there in the mix. Maybe you add some more defense there and makes a couple plays and get you over the edge, you know, so who knows?
All right, Casey, another player acquisition was Antonio Brown to the Bucks, dude. We knew months ago Arians wanted nothing to do with Antonio Brown. And then out of nowhere, obviously there was some interest on Tom Brady's part. Looks like Tom Brady pulled the little strings there and boom, Antonio Brown's to the Bucks.
TB12 can be very persuasive, David. It's an offer you can't refuse.
hear you, man.
No, but it's really a low risk, high reward for these guys. Base salary of only $750,000. He can make up to $2.5 million. And we saw the little time he was with the Patriots that they had the instant chemistry. And with the injuries that have been happening with the receivers in Tampa, Godwin's out now with the broken finger. Evans has had the gimpy ankle. Mm-hmm. You put this guy in there, man, you're not going to miss a beat. And then if all those guys are healthy, you better watch out. It's already the this highest scoring offense in the league. So you add him in there, it could be prolific. But Dave, we still don't know when he's going to be eligible. If to come back, we know the 8-game suspension, but until the commish says he can play, he can't play. So I think TB will keep him in line. And it, man, that is a dynamic playmaker on an already great offense, man. It could be scary for other teams in the NFC.
Yeah, and the fact that the contract is up to $2.5 million, but it's all incentive-laden based on his play week to week, you know? So he has to be in there week to week in order to get that. So that's a good thing, because if they want to, they can cut bait at any point in time. Bad thing is, though, if he starts to fall behind those incentives, then he has a little less motivation, then maybe he's more likely to throw a little tantrum, Casey.
Man, that will be his last tantrum in the NFL if he throws it. If he can't make it work here, he can't make it work.
Yep, I hear you on that one. Okay, Casey, moving along to the Survivor / Three Strikes pool. Who did you have in this week's Survival?
Dave, I am so bummed out because I had to use the Kansas City Chiefs. They beat the Broncos, but now I don't have the Chiefs anymore. But I won.
He's a good one there, Casey. I got the Buffalo Bills over the New York Jets with the theme of anyone versus the Jets. That one worked out for me. It was also the most popular correct pick last week.
Yeah, and the most popular incorrect pick was the Cowboys over football team.
Oh, boy.
WTF, I don't know why anybody would have picked the Cowboys. I told anybody who would listen, they were going to get smoked, and I picked the football team over them. So I'm sorry if you did that, but moving forward, next week, most popular, yeah, you guessed it. It's the Chiefs over the Jets. Book it. It's a wrap, baby. You're moving on to week 9.
Man, I'll tell you. All right, Casey, fantasy go-backs. This is the section they all are clamoring for. Did you have any fantasy go-backs? Casey, could you go back in time and somehow work some magic?
Yeah, Dave, between my three receivers, OBJ, Deebo Samuel, and Chase Claypool, I got a total of 7 points.
Oh,
so had I put Deontay Johnson in, I would have had the fat 20. But, Dave, I won my game against Los Burros Locals anyway with a 87.9. The extra 20 wouldn't have put me into the money. I got the big dub, and that's all that matters. How did you do, bro?
Well, I came up with a loss, a close loss to the Bolt Action, and unfortunately, it was coaching error on my part. I would have won my game had I benched Hunter Henry for TJ Hockenson, and I didn't have a lot of wiggle room with buys and people that were banged up, but that was the one, And I made the wrong call on that. I was that would have got me about 9 more points, and I lost by 5. So, ouch.
Oh, brutal.
The fantasy go back. So painful, man.
All right. So painful.
All right. Away from fantasy, Casey, and into reality. As we look ahead to some of this week's action, it's the big games in week 8.
What?
Week 8. Casey.
What week?
Okay, week 8.
Dave. Yeah. It's slipping away.
It is.
We're halfway. Slipping away.
It is indeed slipping away, Casey. Let's get it started with a huge game. It's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are 6-0, the only undefeated team left in the league, in the AFC. No, in both conferences. And they're heading to Baltimore to play the 5-1 Ravens. Ravens, though, at home, favored by 3.5 in this one. The over-under 47.
Dave, you mentioned the Steelers are the league's last undefeated. The undefeated has gone on Super Bowl. So if you are a Steelers fan right now, and these Steelers have looked pretty awesome in almost every category, so the area of concern, I guess, is that they led the Titans 27-7 early in the third quarter and barely held on to win, but they did. Kind of a tale of two halves, but really have to nitpick to find things wrong with these Steelers. And a big reason why they were so successful last week in this season was they're converting on third down. Last week, 13 of 18 on third down. On the year, they're over 50%, 51% on the year. And this week, that gave them a time of possession of almost 37 minutes, dude. So they just grind you down. Wow. And really, the game was only close because of three interceptions thrown by Big Ben, and Pittsburgh lost the turnover battle 3-0 and still won this game, dude. That hardly ever happens.
Unreal.
And those three interceptions give them a total of 5 turnovers on the year. So they're really protecting the ball, taking good care of it, creating turnovers on the other side. But it's that run defense, dude. They held Derrick Henry to 75 yards last week, and they're going to need more of that. We wondered if they could do that because he had over 200 the week before. But Baltimore is coming in with the league's number one rushing attack. So Steelers holding teams under 70 yards a game, that's pretty good, but it's not just against the run, Dave. They're holding passing teams to under 220 yards a game. They're holding teams to 17 points a game. They have 26 sacks, dude, 55 tackles for loss, bro.
Wow.
So this team is crushing it. And if they can beat these Ravens, which is a big if coming off that physical game, they have Dallas, then the Bengals, and the Jags before they get a rematch against these Ravens in Pittsburgh next time. So this is a huge game. It always is within this division. And this is also working up there for AFC supremacy, man. I cannot wait to see this, Dave. There's going to be some hitting in this game, bro.
Yeah, no doubt. This is seriously could have playoff implications down the road. Division winner, blah, blah, blah. This is a huge matchup, obviously. Baltimore coming off a game where they snuck by Philadelphia, too, where they were dominating, and they let Philly kind of sneak back in and almost really made a game of it at the end. But talking about this Ravens team, it's Lamar. He's playing pretty well, but really it's not so much about the passing offense. That's actually second to last in yards per game in the NFL. It's, like you mentioned, the top rushing team in the league at 164.3 yards per game. And it's Lamar Jackson, dude. He's leading the team in rushing for us. And it was not too long ago, last game, that he had 108 yards. He had a huge run, but 108 yards and a touchdown last game. So, I mean, he's their leading rusher. They're the leading rushing team in the NFL. So it's not totally balanced out. But he did rush for 70 yards the last time he played the Steelers. Even like you said, that Steeler rush defense is phenomenal. At running back, they do have Ingram and Gus Edwards there. Ingram had a TD last time they played the Steelers. Gus Edwards had his first touchdown last game. So, Dobbins is in the mix too. And then at wide receiver, these guys, they're looking for some more out of, Marquise Hollywood Brown. Huge playmaker, but haven't had enough,
Yeah, well, Dez Bryant's on the practice squad. He's not going to be ready this week, but moving forward, he's not going to be the top end speed, but he is that big physical receiver that can get you first downs and get you touchdowns in the red zone. So yeah. I'm excited to see Dez back in the league. Good for him, bro.
Yeah, good for him. We'll see if he can get himself onto that active squad because they certainly could use some help. Casey, also though, your guy at OU, Mark Andrews at the tight end position, he's really their main go-to guy there in the receiving game. Defensively, this is a pretty strong defense, too. So this is going to be a smash-mouth physical football game. But ninth in total yards and in points per game, they're giving up just 17.3. So that's pretty awesome right there. You know what I mean? 11 takeaways on the season for this defense. That gives them a plus 6 ratio. So that's pretty strong. And they just added Yannick Ngakoue in the trade last week kind of to improve their pass rush. Seems like they're a little bit lacking in the pass rush, and he brings it. He's already got 5 sacks on the season, of course, for Minnesota, et cetera, et cetera. But they're looking for a little bump in that area, too. But this is going to be a fun, physical football game, Casey. And like I said, it's not that far away. We get a rematch of this in like a month.
Going to be sweet, bro. All right, up next, we have the New Orleans Saints at the Chicago Bears. The Saints are 4-point favorites on the road with an over of 45.
Wow. This is another killer game. And, you know, who knows the way Chicago's been playing. This one could have some serious playoff ramifications, too. Breeze is, you know, he's still Drew Breeze. I mean, he's still the Hall of Famer without a question. Not playing quite as exceptionally brilliant as he has been throughout his, you know, the prime time of his career. But this is really all about Alvin Kamara at this point in time. He leads the team in both rushing and receiving, dude. So averaging almost 5 yards a carry, Kamara, and then through the air averaging 10 yards a reception. So really, really getting it done in both categories. You know, he is just such a dynamic weapon for these guys. He had 148 yards and 8 catches last week. So really coming off a hugely productive performance, leading the NFL in catches with 46 and leading yards from scrimmage with 824. So this guy is really, really dynamic. And he's going for his 6th game in a row with 115 or more scrimmage yards. So bringing it very consistently. Also, Latavius Murray in the mix there for a little bit bigger body back when they need one. Unfortunately, the problem with Breeze is maybe not as much Breeze-oriented as it is the receiving group, because Michael Thomas has been injured. He has 3 catches.
Ugh.
3 catches. Not last week. Total.
Yeah. And like 115 less than he had last year, Dave.
Right. And he's injured. I mean, there's some mystery about other things, you know, whether what it is that why he's being benched and what degree it's injury, but this is another injury apparently. Emmanuel Sanders went on IR recently, so they're down to Tre'Quan Smith, who's exciting, Deontay Harris, and then of course the tight end Jared Cook, you know. So very limited in terms of what they were expecting with you know, the top 2 guys out right now. They are 7th in points per game though, you know, at 30 points per game, but they're also 24th in giving up points. It's 29 a game, so it's only a slight margin in the positive for the points ratio there. Defensively, this is a pretty strong defensive group. 7th overall in total yards. Cameron Jordan, 2 sacks the last time these 2 teams met. You know, they've got Marcus Davenport. He had a sack last week. Trey Hendrickson.
Huge one. He sacked Teddy B and moved those guys out of field goal
range.
That's
right. Huge, huge sack. And then Trey Hendrickson leads the team. He's looking for his 3rd straight game with a sack. Marshawn Lattimore on the back end is arguably one of the top DBs in the league, dude. Oh, and kicking the ball, Will Lutz hasn't missed all year. Not a single point after or field goal.
Just jinxed him, Dave. Just jinxed him.
All right, Casey, up next. Another big game.
You're just going to skip over the Bears and
Sorry. I didn't mean to do the Bears like that.
Performance against the Rams on Monday night. I can see why you do that.
I was overlooking the Bears.
Yeah. They failed to score a touchdown offensively for the first time all season. Actually been limited to only 5 TDs in their last 4 games. You know, this team is really lacking a big play threat. I mean, their longest pass play of the season came on Monday night. It was a 42-yard pass to Robinson, who is a great receiver, but it didn't even result in a touchdown. And they're looking for that guy to be the number two to Robinson there. They have Miller and they have Ginn, and Mooney, the rookie, but no one's really stepped in to be that guy. And this offense, dude, they really struggled. Like I said, no offensive touchdowns on Monday night, but part of that was four of their five first half possessions, they started so deep in their territory because Johnny Hecker, I had never talked about a punter, was killing it on Monday night, dude.
He's a monster.
Inside the 10. And when you have to try to go downfield against that tough Rams defense, it's hard. And like I said, they don't have another playmaker there. They did get into the red zone twice on Monday night, but the first time when the Rams were up 17-3, Nick Foles threw an interception, squashing that chance for points. And then later on, a fourth and goal from the four in the fourth quarter, they couldn't get in. And so there was chances to get this game closer because the Bears are definitely a second half team, but they couldn't capitalize when the opportunities happened. Plus, Nick Foles got sacked four times, dude.
Ooh.
And now with those interceptions he threw on Monday night, six interceptions to just six touchdowns. It felt like it was a whole swing. The Foles magic, troops got benched, but
yeah, it felt like he got all those touchdowns in that second half of that game where he came in, man. That's like, how many did he get there? Right? Three touchdowns in that game?
Everybody throws touchdowns against the Falcons. Come on. You know, I think though part of the reason their struggle is that offensive line is really banged up and it's really impacting the run game or the lack thereof, dude. They were outrushed on Monday night, 161-49. And, you know, it looks just like everything is difficult for this offense. That being said, they're still sitting at 5-2, where the Bears are making their money is on the defense. But they were the number one red zone defense going into last week. But three touchdowns on four possessions in the red zone Monday night is going to push them a little bit down the line. But that front four is totally awesome. But they might have the best linebacking core in the league with Mac, Mingo, Trevathan, and Roquan Smith, who's leading the team in tackles, assists, and tackles for loss. He's really been turned out to be what they thought he was going to be. This defense is going to keep him in every game, but if the offense doesn't turn the ball over, they at least have to produce. And so far, they've not done anything.
Yeah.
They've not really done that. So it's going to be a tough road to hoe against these Saints, man. They're going to have to find a way to get some points.
Yeah, the Bears need to score more points offensively than their defense does. That didn't happen last game.
They were -4 after Monday night.
Yikes.
That's bad.
Okay. All right, Casey, move on.
I could have left the Bears off, I guess, but.
Moving it on. Las Vegas Raiders, they'll be heading to Cleveland to play the Browns, dude. Browns at home favored by 2.5 in this one with the over-under at 54.
Yeah, dude. You know, Derek Carr is putting together maybe his best season as a pro. He's been very good. He's been very careful with the ball. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be a running team, but so far, dude, that's not really been the case. Last week, they finished with just 76 rushing yards. And it wasn't Josh Jacobs that led the way. It was Jalen Richard. Jacobs,
I know,
only
that
had 17.
Oof, my fantasy.
Oh, yeah, fantasy. Yeah, that's a bad fantasy. And they really, you know, were expecting the run game to be a tough part. Maybe part of that's because it was the Bucs, but they got to get it going, man, either way. You flip to the pass game, mentioned Carr's good play. Nelson Aguilar coming over from the Eagles, dude. He had a great game against those Bucs, over 100 yards and a touchdown. He's actually tied for the team lead with 5 touchdowns. They got Henry Ruggs back. He's their seats. They're over the top guy, but they're hoping to get Bryan Edwards back too. A big body target, man. You put him in there with Waller and you got two great dynamic targets and you have speed. So hopefully they get Edwards back and they can get that offense going, man. But against these Bucks, dude, the defense really struggled. They didn't get to the quarterback at all. One hit against Brady with 0 sacks. That's how TB likes it, but that's not how Chucky likes it. If there isn't a Raider defender that's having a good year, it's Max Crosby. He's the only Raider with more than one sack on the year. He has 4. Dude, the team only has 7 sacks.
Oh, man.
No pass rush, dude. And last week, the Bucs converted over 80% of the red zone trips, and there were 6 of them. That was 5 of 6. That's bad news for these Raiders. That being said, this was really the first game that the Raiders weren't in, but I'm not sure how good they are, and I'm not sure how good Cleveland is. They both have decent records, but one of these teams has to get this win because they're both pretty much looking at a wild card now. So, and it's going to start getting really cluttered. So they got to get this conference win.
No doubt about it. It's a big game for both of these teams, but obviously, like you say, Cleveland pretty happy with that 5-2. But they are in fact negative in the points ratio, minus 21 on the season. So it's hard to imagine that they've managed a 5-2 record with that. Baker Mayfield has been decent, but 15 TDs to just, to 7 interceptions is not, I mean, it, historically speaking, that's an okay, but these days, man, I mean, that's just above 2-1. So you want it to be a little more, you know, less interceptions, let's say, you know, how you say too many picks. But you know what? Here's the interesting thing, Casey. Red zone stats. He's 18 of 25 for 13 touchdowns, 0 picks in the red zone. So, and obviously coming off that weekend last week, 22 of 28, over 78%, 297 yards. Oh, and 5 of those TDs, right? So, I don't know if all of them were in the red zone. I think that last one was a little bit farther out. But, man, what a performance last week out of Baker, dude. And he had a season high, of course, in the touchdouns, but 135-plus rating, all after OBJ went down, Casey, and he's out for the year. Yeah, so interesting turn of events there. They lose their most talented receiver, and the quarterback finds a rhythm. Other guys receiving ball that are left over. Jarvis Landry was leading the squad anyways, but he has no touchdowns on the year, so that's pretty weird. but he did have 5 grabs last week. Rashard Higgins had 6 for 110. That's his career high. Kareem Hunt had 102 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown last week, a touchdown catch. And then Higgins had a huge game also, like I mentioned, you know, they put together a crazy, it was Donovan Peoples, Casey, Donovan Peoples-Jones, the game winner, down the sidelines, trying to steal that game away from the Bengals last week. An amazing pass and catch.
What about Harrison Bryant, the rookie tight end, with a couple big snags last week, too, on Tight End Appreciation Day?
That's right, man. 2 touchdowns for Harrison Bryant, man. That was my next point, Casey. Good call. Obviously, the rookie is making a name for himself. If you haven't heard from him yet, you will, right? Defensively, this Browns defense has given up 31.6 games. That's near the bottom of the league. Good news, they're good against the ground game, so the Raiders are going to have a hard time righting the ship in that. This is a 5th-ranked run defense. Bad news and good news for Carr, this is the 30th-ranked pass defense, so they're going to be it's going to be likely that the Raiders lean on the pass more, you know, and they'll do that successfully in all likelihood. Miles Garrett leads the team there. He had 2 sacks and a forced fumble last week, and he leads the team with 9 sacks on the year. I think that leads the league actually too.
Dude, and if they can ever get Nick Chubb back on the offensive side, man, woo, they just gotta hopefully hang on and keep stacking some wins, dude. It's gonna be a very interesting game.
No doubt about it, dude.
All right, Dave. Oh my God, the next game coming up is gonna be epic. We have the San Francisco 49ers at Seattle Seahawks. And the Hawks are 3-point favorites at home with the over-under of 54.
Man, I'll tell you what. And this 49ers team at 4-3, they weathered the storm there with the incredible amount of injuries. Somehow looked like they were just going to not even be able to field the team. And they've gotten around. They've figured it out. They're sitting there in a very competitive division and right in the mix of it. But coming off that big win over New England where they basically dominated the Patriots and had Cam Newton discombobulated and benched in that game. Pretty amazing performance last week. And again, like all they've been through, they've really got it going in the right direction now. Jimmy G, of course, is the guy, very modest stats on the year because, of the games missed, but, playing decently. But, let's get back to the injury bug. Man, I'll tell you what. It's Raheem Mostert now on IR. Tevin Coleman, of course, previously on IR. Jeff Wilson was the guy they brought in last week, surprisingly, even though I thought it was going to be Jerick McKinnon. They wanted to rest Jerick McKinnon up a little bit, knowing they were going to use him a lot, and Wilson was playing phenomenally well. Now he's on IR too. So now they're back to Jamichael Hasty and Jerick McKinnon as a 1-2 punch. That is it. So it is going to be pretty. They can't afford another injury in that category. Although Hasty did have 73 yards from scrimmage last week. Juszczyk, the fullback, is probably going to get a lot more work. He had two rush TDs last week too. So or his second rushing touchdown on the season last week. So he's getting in the mix too. And this is George Kittle, of course, as the big time playmaker, whether he's blocking or catching or smashing people. George Kittle is an amazing weapon that is a mismatch for any defense. So speaking of defense, Casey, this team defense is pretty dang good on defense. They're fifth in yards per game at under 310 and fifth in points per game at 19.4. So a very strong defense, not giving up a lot of yards, not giving up a lot of points, man. And we heard all the talk last week about Fred Warner at linebacker from our guy Robo there. And he really is phenomenal, man. I think this guy's going to, you know, make a name for himself if you haven't heard from him. Seven tackles and his third interception last week. Fred Warner is an absolute tackling machine back there, dude. It's going to be pretty exciting football.
Dave, I'm going to read you a few lyrics and tell me if you know what song this is. Fly on your way like a Seahawk. Fly as high as the sun on your way like a Seahawk. Fly, touch the sun.
That reminds me of a little Iron Maiden, Casey.
That's right, baby. The flight of Icarus. Oh, these Seahawks soared too high, got too close to the sun, and got their first loss on the season. But Dave, even so, it took three Russell Wilson's interceptions, a Russell Wilson-like performance from Kyler Murray, and overtime to give the Seahawks that first loss. Mm-hmm. And if it weren't for a hold on that DK Metcalf touchdown, the Hawks would still be undefeated, dude.
Wow.
And that's actually the first game lost by the Seahawks, postseason included, since 2012, when they led by four more points at halftime. Prior to that, Seahawks 59-0 when leading by four more at halftime. So that was a rare occurrence there. And another rare occurrence was the day by Tyler Lockett. Oh, my God, this guy is so dynamic. 15 grabs, 200 yards, and three touchdowns. Sorry, it came in a little too late to qualify for total fantasy domination as it was the night game. But what an impressive performance in a defeat, dude. And I hereby absolve DK Metcalf of his fumble versus Dallas after I saw him track down Buda Baker 114 yards, 22 miles an hour later to prevent a pick six. Seattle actually held him out of the end zone after that.
Yeah, so what a hustle play. A 4-point
tackle. It was 7 points. So props to him. Like I said, he's absolved from the showboating against the Cowboys, dude. His team a little banged up at running back. Pete Carroll said Chris Carson is week to week. Rashard Penny still not back. Carlos Hyde was decent against Arizona, but Russ was still their leading rusher. Mm. And so they need really more from anyone not named Russell Wilson. That's not a formula for success on down the road through a full season. They do are great at offense. Russ leads the league with 22 touchdowns and is still the MVP, in my opinion.
Yep.
Way to go. But, Dave, this defense is all legion and no boom, bro. Zero sacks or quarterback hits recorded by the Hawks against Kyler Murray. Only 9 sacks on the year, dude.
Wow.
They're giving up 370 passing yards a game and almost 29 points a game. Now, they're hoping to get Jamal Adams back, and they really need him. He does a little bit of everything for the team, rushes the quarterback, stops the run, can move back in coverage. And it might be snack time, too, Dave. Your carrot sticks over there? Snacks Harrison brought in by this team to, you know, bolster that defensive line, and they need all the help they can get against that San Francisco running attack, no matter who's back there. And they might bring Roger Craig back. I don't know. You mentioned all the injuries there.
Yeah.
But this team really needs all areas to elevate because as great as Russ is, I don't know if he can carry a team with this type of defense and lack of a running game to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised, though, because Russ is so good. But if the defense can't get its crap together, you mentioned this division is bananas and crazy competitive. Ooh. The NFC West, 19 wins, the most by any division, and the West remains the only division in which all four teams are 500 or better. And Dave, since realignment in 2002, four teams in the same division have had at least four wins through week seven. It's only happened twice. And ironically enough, it was the NFC East in 2005 and 2016. Not to be confused with the 2020 version of the NFC East.
Not at all.
Man, this is a great game. And, you know, these teams, the Niners are in fourth place in the West right now. It wouldn't be crazy to see that
at
whole division go to the playoffs.
No kidding.
Wow.
It's outstanding how incredible this division is. And like you said, everybody's within striking distance, really.
Yeah, dude, it came down to week 17 last year when the Niners were able to beat the Seahawks and get home field advantage. So that's not lost on Russ. And these guys coming off of a big loss like that, wow, it's going to be a good game, bro.
Going to be an amazing game. And it's going to be an amazing week 8, dude, I'll tell you what. All right, Casey, that's going to do it. So many ways to check out the football news. Get your subscription to the Trend Zone on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Tune in. Or wherever you get your podcasts. Go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram and Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA.
Or just go to footballdudes.com.
Right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Trend Zone. For Casey, I'm Dave. We are out of here.